today. Beautiful March day God's given us. We have one bit of business to take care of before we dive into God's Word, and that is to affirm Connor and Taylor as members of our church. You heard their testimonies last week. You've known them, and so hearing their testimonies, knowing that the elders have discussed them, that I've talked with them, I would like to ask you, do you accept Connor and Taylor to be members of our church? If you agree, please say yes. Anybody opposed, please raise your hand. All right, Connor and Taylor, welcome. Don't worry about what they're all telling you right now, because, congratulations, thank you. It's good to have you guys with us. We're in the book of James again this morning. We're going to finish up chapter 1. And so last week, we just looked at verse 19. I want to quickly review that and then look at the rest of the chapter. And one of Paul's themes here is the difference between knowing and doing. Okay? Are there things that you know you should do, but you choose not to do them? I'm getting personal. I know I should go see the doctor. Next year, I know I should not eat dessert every day. Okay, let me phrase that. I know I should not eat multiple desserts every day. Ask your wife. I know I should fix this, but I'll get to it. Well, there's always things that we know we should do, but we just don't do them. There's a difference between what we know up here and what we do here. And without getting personal, I'm sure you could all name several things as well. But James here is concerned that what we know makes its way down to what we do. Okay? And so I'd like to read our passage this morning. This is James chapter 1. Verses 19 to 27. It says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." Father, thank you for your word that you have communicated to James, and that James has written down for us. And I pray, Lord, that as we study this passage, that you would send your Holy Spirit and that he would enlighten us, help us to understand what James is saying. And I pray, Lord, that it wouldn't just be head knowledge that we get this morning, but it would be an understanding that what goes from our head flows to our heart and flows out from what we do. And Lord, that whole process, that whole cycle is so important. And I pray, Lord, that you would, through this morning, help us understand how we can facilitate that a little better. And so, Lord, we commit this time to you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's quickly review what we talked about last week, and just verse 19. James says, notice, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And we saw that this is very countercultural. Most people today want to be slow to listen, quick to speak, and quick to become angry. Okay? But James tells us to do just the opposite. Okay? We saw that listening is something that takes work. It's not something that comes natural. For years, I thought it did, and then very much realized it doesn't. It takes work. Okay? It's concentrating on what the other person is saying by limiting our distractions. Okay? Making sure that we understand what the other person is saying. It's listening is choosing to understand what the other person is saying because we understand and we appreciate and care about their thoughts and feelings. So we're to be quick to listen, but we're also to be slow to speak. And so many times people jump into an argument or a discussion feeling like it's an argument they've been in. Okay? It's the, I'm going to jump in here, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Okay? Now, I had a realization when I married my wife that her family is different than my family. Okay? At the dinner table at my house, there are four people. Okay? There's my mom, my dad, myself, and my sister. Okay? And do you know what the cardinal rule was at the dinner table? You do not interrupt. At all. That is like the worst thing you could do is interrupt when somebody else is talking. Okay, that would just shut everything down. Okay, so you learn to wait your turn and share. Then I went to my fiance's house for Thanksgiving dinner. Okay, there were, six of you, five plus me sitting at this table. There are four girls in her family. And you've met her mom, okay? Need I say more? No, okay? I could not speak because everybody else was talking, and they didn't wait. They talked over each other. Dinner was an hour. I tried to talk seven times, okay? I went, like, I felt like I was doing dry heaves or something. I was like, but in my family, you don't talk if you're interrupting somebody else. There was no space to interrupt. Like, there was nothing. And I'm like, what do you do with this? So my dad and I had this very nice conversation right here. And I completely ignored the other four or five ladies around the table. We talked sports. We had a great time. We were in dinner. And Rachel comes up and goes, well, you were rude at dinner. So, what are you talking about? Because you didn't say anything. Look, I tried. Seven times I tried. She goes, you have to interrupt. I said, I can't. It's not in my ability to interrupt. Okay? She goes, oh, we got to work on this. I said, yes, we do. And 26 years later, I'm still working on it. Okay? But this idea to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Okay, for some of us it comes more naturally than for others. Okay? But when we are slow to speak, okay, we are careful in our words. Okay, and I think James, he tells us here, he'll tell us in chapter 3 again, that words have power and we need to be careful in how we use them. James' third piece of wisdom is in verses 19 and 20, and he says, be slow to anger, because the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Well, why is it? Why is the anger of man so contrary to what God wants, to the rightness, to the holiness of God? I think it's because we can have righteous anger. Most of our anger comes from either unmet expectations or selfishness. Okay? We can have those times when it's, yes, we're right to be angry, but those are few compared to the selfish anger that we have. Okay? And so James tells us, be slow to anger. And instead of getting into anger, James says to receive with meekness the implanted word. Okay. It says, put away all filthiness, rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Okay. Put away all filthiness. It's a decision you do. Okay. And receive the implanted word. Now, in Sunday school, we talked about the parable of the soils. Okay, you remember this, where Jesus tells a story of a man was scattering seed in his field, and the seed fell on four types of soil. It fell on the path, it fell among thorns, it fell on rocky soil, and it fell on good soil. Okay? This idea of the implanted word is the gospel that is in us as believers. And we often think that it's the gospel is only this prayer that we pray. Okay? Yes, it is that, but it's more than that. Okay? The gospel is in us, but it grows over time. Okay? It grows into a plant. It grows in maturity. It grows in life. If we go back to the parable, it's like the seed that yields 30, 60, or 100 fold. The gospel is the life-transforming relationship with Jesus that changes us as we follow him. Okay? Our character slowly becomes his character, and God's character is shown through what we do. So that's a review of verse 19. But let's go on and look at what James says. Verse 22. James says this, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Many believers are really good at soaking up information, right? And we have lots of opportunities to do that. Church, Sunday school, Bible studies, devotions, Christian school, family devotions, all these things. We have tons of time to soak up knowledge or information, okay? We would win a Bible trivia contest, okay? Let me just throw this question out. Okay, see how knowledgeable you are. What wood did Noah use to build the ark? See, you all know that. Who else would know that? It's gopher wood, okay? You've got knowledge. You've got a lot of it, okay? But Paul tells us that Bible knowledge is good, but not good enough. 1 Corinthians 8:1, he says, knowledge puffs up, but wisdom builds up. You can have really smart believers or people that really know the word who are very foolish people. Okay, you can have people who know a lot, but don't know how to apply it. Okay? You can have people who know a lot about mechanics but can't fix anything. Okay? Knowledge is not the same thing as wisdom. James says the Bible must seep into our hearts what becomes belief and wisdom. Okay? These 14 inches between here and here don't look like very much, but it's a long ways to go. It's a long ways to go from just knowing things to actually believing them and having them sink deep into our soul. Okay? But that's what we're called to do. And then it's supposed to come from our heart out into what we do, how we live, how we act, our hands and our feet. Okay? James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Our faith affects all three areas, our mind, our heart, and our bodies. Okay? And what we do is a reflection or a flowing out of what we believe, and what we believe starts from what we know. Okay? So head, heart, hands are all connected. And to further explain this point, James uses the analogy of a mirror. Okay? Now, I don't know how many of you like looking at yourself in the mirror. I don't particularly like it because I see a receding hairline, I see all sorts of other things. I'm like, okay, yeah. You know, I'll glance and just do that. Okay? A glance in a mirror is what we often do when we shave or brush our teeth, right? It's kind of like this. Okay? Do you need to intently look at your teeth while you brush them? No. How do you brush your teeth the exact same way you brushed them the week before? Yeah, you move from side to side, top, bottom. It's a routine. You just do it. Okay? Guys, when you shave, you know, do you go, okay, did I get all of this? Maybe you do. Maybe you do. Okay? But I would say most of us are like slap on the cream and get it off and like that. Okay? Maybe you've done this. Okay? If I nick myself shaving, sometimes I won't even know it. Okay? And then later when I have cereal or something, I'll wipe my chin and go, oh, that's not good. Okay, you got blood on your finger, you go back and you wipe it off. I don't even know I nicked myself shaving. Okay? That is a glance in the mirror. I'm just looking at the mirror to make sure I get in the general area. Okay? That is what James says when a man looks in the mirror and forgets what he looks like. It's a glance. You're not looking intently. Okay? But then he talks about someone who looks closely in a mirror. Okay? Something like this. Now, I don't know what he's looking at, but he's looking at something. Okay? But whether you're looking at it and trying to decide, would I look good in a mustache? Someone here has a mustache. Okay? Would you look good with facial hair? Would you, what is this spot here? Okay? You can intently look at yourself in the mirror and go, okay, that's what I look like. Okay? That's not glancing, that's gazing. Okay? That's intently looking. Okay? And James says there's a difference here. Okay? Those who glance at the Word of God, okay, are those who read it but can't really remember what it said. Now, how many of you have done this? Oh, yeah. Okay, I've done it too. I've read scripture and gone, what did I read? You know, right after I put it down. Okay? Now, yeah, I get it. We do that on occasion. Okay? But hopefully it's not a regular practice. Okay? You know, to glance at scripture is, you know, I think of it something like this. It's a person who could even have a Bible reading plan, but it's not something you do to look into. It's just something you check off a list. Okay, yep, I read that chapter. I'm good to go. It could be someone who is reading, but constantly distracted by his or her phone. Okay, you're like the dog in the movie Up. How many of you have seen Up, kids? Okay, there's a dog, and his name is Doug. And what does Doug get distracted by? Squirrels. Squirrel. Squirrel. Okay, it could be a normal conversation. Squirrel. And he freezes. Okay? That's how we read the Bible. Our phone goes off. Did I do that? How get that? Where was I? And something else comes up, and we're like, oh, thinking about this and that. We're like Doug. Okay? And we're distracted, and that means we just can't. What did I read? Okay? Where am I? Okay, sometimes it's like that. Sometimes it is trying to read in the evening when they're tired and it's hard to stay awake. Okay? You know, it's like, the joke in college was bedtime Baptist or Mennonite mattress or, you know, all these different things you could do. You know, and it's just, you're trying to read the Bible when you're tired. It's hard. It's hard to do anything when you're tired. Okay? But I think sometimes these things need to glancing at Scripture rather than really understanding it. Okay? But when we gaze in a mirror, when we gaze at Scripture, it's different. Okay? We remember what we read. Okay? We understand it. James says, the one who perseveres, the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, the law that gives freedom, and perseveres. Okay? And being a hearer, no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. To persevere means, it implies a commitment, a length. Okay? So, God says they're blessed in their hearing and doing. For many of us, we can remember the school tradition of standardized testing. How many of you remember this? Standardized testing. Okay? It was all those sheets of bubbles. A, B, C, and D. Okay? I remember it was SRA testing when I was a kid. Okay? We still do it. All schools do standardized testing. Okay? Remember you had to have your number two pencils and you had to fill in the things just completely and all that. I got so sick of bubbles, it was terrible. Okay, but we had standardized tests for 3 or 4 mornings. Okay, and it was tests on everything. Okay, one of those tests was labeled reading comprehension. And for that test, we needed to read, you know, a paragraph or 2 paragraphs, and we had to answer a series of questions. Now, this test would be easy, except they timed it, and they never gave you enough time to go back and read it again, which was the idea of the test, right? You're supposed to read the paragraph, answer the questions to see if you understood what you read. Because the teachers or the examiners knew there is a difference between reading words and understanding content. It's possible to read a paragraph and not grasp the meaning of what you read. Is it not? Yeah. Try some machine manuals. Like, what are you talking about? Okay. Reading and understanding is hard work. And it's true of the Bible as well. Peter encourages his audience to read Paul's letters. But there's a fascinating little description at the end of 2 Peter. Peter says this of Paul's letters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand. That's Peter talking about Paul. Are there things in Paul that are hard to understand? Absolutely. And even Peter recognizes it. And if Peter, the pillar of the church, recognizes that some things in Paul are difficult, I feel okay saying there are some things I don't understand in Paul. Okay? But does Peter say, oh, you can skip over that? Okay? I don't understand it. Doesn't make sense. We're just going to skip. No. He says, you need to read Paul's letters. You need to mull them over. You need to grind them, think them, process them to try to figure out what is Paul's point. Okay? And I the result is worth the effort. Okay? You know, there are some passages, there's a verse in 1 Peter. I don't know what it means. I have no clue what it means. Okay? But does that mean I just skip over it? No. It means I look at it and study it and go, well, okay, I may not know, but this is what I think it means. Okay? Reading is hard work. Listening is hard work. Understanding is hard work. That's okay. Okay? It's worth it. So this year, I'm trying something a little different. Now, there's lots of ways to read a Bible, right? You can read it through in a year. You can read large chunks. You can read it by chapter. You can read it by book. You can read it by just little story. Okay, I'm reading it by chapter this year. So one chapter a day, so I'm in Luke
9, I think, right now. And what I'm doing is I'm trying to intentionally slow myself down so I really understand what I'm reading. How long would it take you to read a chapter of 40 verses? How many minutes? 10, 15 minutes, okay? Takes me about 20 because I'm like Doug. I get distracted and I'm like, oh, no. Come back. No, come back. Okay? While my mind goes other places, I'm like, stop, reread this, come back. I've reread the same paragraph like 3 times because halfway through the paragraph, I get distracted. It takes me forever to get through a chapter. Okay? But you know what? I've seen more in this study in this year than I've seen in a long time. Things that I just normally skip over. Okay? It's hard work. And I have to discipline myself to read and to reread so I understand it. And then what I've decided to do this year is when I pray right after, I thank God for every story in the chapter. So I keep my Bible open. I'm like, thank you for this one and this one and this one and this one. And you know what? I remember things better that way. Because I can remember what I read this morning. I'm like, okay, God, that's good. But I feel like a preschooler. Okay? Having to reread and to go through it and to pray over it. And you know what? I've come to the point of saying, okay, fine, I'm a preschooler. But at least I'm understanding and remembering what I'm reading. Okay? I'm finding that it's helpful. So, what can you do? What can we do to increase the amount that you remember from your time in God's Word? What can we do? What can you do to remember Sunday school better or your Bible study better? Would a change of location or time help? A little caffeine. Okay? I'm not one to say drugs are good, but caffeine is a naturally occurring substance. Anyway, would a little caffeine help? Okay? Jotting down notes, whatever. I want to throw this out to you. We're going to have a bit of a discussion here. I want to know what have you found helpful in that helps you retain what you've read or what you have heard. Okay? Now, some of you have kids here. I don't expect you to remember much at all from a sermon. Okay? You're wrangling kids. Been there, done that. Okay? But is there one thing? Like, what have you found to be helpful? Okay? Discussion. What do you think?
Got to move away from the microphone. What have you found helpful in retaining what you've read or what you've heard?
Writing it down,
okay? That works.
Highlighting, underlining.
Okay?
Rereading.
Okay, good.
Putting it on a small note card and posting it somewhere where I see it regularly, the fridge or windowsill, car dashboard.
Good.
Melanie's email.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good. What else?
Lots of times it seems like God teaches you the same thing here as you read here and you saw there and then you read over here. That really helps you remember.
Okay.
Memorization.
A change of version sometimes helps.
I can read copy on Tuesday morning and Sunday.
That's good. Okay. Hey, no joke, caffeine does help. Okay, sometimes. So, okay. For some people it's a place. You have a specific chair you go to. Okay, or a specific room. Okay? If you got a whole bunch of littles running around your house, okay, can you set could your spouse come home, or when a spouse is home, can you say, hey, 20 minutes, a little time. And whether it's morning, afternoon, whatever, something like that. Is it listening instead of reading? We have to be really creative here. If this is something that we see as important, okay, then how can we facilitate, how can we set an environment,
okay, to do that? I think that's important. Okay, so think it through, and then I just ask you to brainstorm. Okay, what can we do to increase our comprehension of what we've read? Okay. I want to look here just briefly at verses 26 and 27. Okay. James says, if anyone thinks or any think he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Now, these are examples that James will talk about in greater depth later, so I'm not going to go into them deeply now. I just want to highlight them. Okay? When he talks about words, okay, bridling his tongue, controlling the tongue, okay, he realizes that words have great power to heal or harm. Okay? We know the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. Words hurt hard, words cut deeper, they hurt longer than any sharp stick ever could. Okay? But they can also heal. Okay? So Proverbs 16:24, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Okay? We often think of words as cutting and how harsh they can be. And they are. They can be very harsh. They can also have great power to heal. Okay? Encouragement goes a long way. An honest compliment goes a long way. Okay? Building people up. Okay? Words have just as much power to bring life as they have to bring harm. And so, James will talk later about what that looks like. Okay? This is why James challenges us to bridle our tongue. Okay, the second point he brings up here is care for widows and orphans. Okay? He says, if religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. I think James wrote his letter probably around the 10th chapter of Acts. Okay, 10th or 12th chapter of Acts. He wrote it before the Jerusalem Council. If you remember in Acts chapter 6, the early church has to assign deacons. What was the reason they had to assign deacons? Do you remember the problem they were having? There were widows in the church. Some were Jewish widows, some were Greek. The Jewish widows were getting their daily allowance of food. They're getting some groceries. The Gentile widows were often being left out. And so the church decided, we're going to appoint 7 men, half Jew, but half Greek, and they were going to care for these widows. I think what James does there as a leader of the early church is what he's talking about here. Religion that is pure and undefiled is religion that comes from what we know through our heart into what we do. And so caring for the vulnerable is one of those things that is at the very heart of God. You think, we look at the Old Testament, the prophets especially, the Gospels, and then Paul's words to Timothy. Okay, it's present throughout Scripture, taking care of the poor and vulnerable. That's very, very important to James because it's very, very important to God. And finally, James says we are to keep from being stained by the world. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, allowing the Spirit time and space to mold our character to resemble Christ's character. Okay? It's not that we're going to go through life unscathed. Okay? It's not that we're going to have marks and blemishes. We will, okay? But that over time, our character gets transformed into his character. okay? To keep unstained, to grow in purity, okay? To grow in our holiness, okay? To do that shows a world that, okay, God is not just out there, that believers aren't just hypocrites, but that believers actually will do what they say and what they believe, okay? And I look at our little church here, and I see people who live out what they believe. Do we live it out perfectly? No. But I could go down the row, and I could tell many of you, I saw you do this. This is how I saw your faith come out. And it's not something that should make us boastful or prideful. It should make us humble and grateful that God uses us, and he wants to use us more. Okay? And so the challenge James gives us is not just to become smart Christians. Knowledge is okay. Knowing that Noah's Ark was made out of gopher's wood is fine. Okay, but if that's all we know, and it stays up here, it never becomes part of who we are. It brings pride. It puffs us up. But wisdom and belief goes to the core of our being, and then it flushes its way out into how we live. And that's how it should be. Okay, starting here, coming out here. And by doing that, we will tell a world that, yes, God is real, that Jesus is real. This is what he has done in me. This is what he can do for you. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for James and for his practicality and nuts and bolts of seeing how the Bible or how your truth is so practical. And Lord, I pray that something this morning would stick. That if it's just one thing, Lord, that your word has communicated, that it would be something we remember and ponder, challenge, and if you say to change, then we would do so. So Lord, we give ourselves to you, and we thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.